Hello, welcome to another Trust the Wizards podcast. Good whatever time it is in the space-time continuum in your existence. We're going to embark on another, what might call a fan cast. This is where we go to a concert and we relate to you the gig experience. And we're very much pre-gig at the moment. And I say we, that's me, Rebel Rickett. And to my left here, Mr...
Hello, this is Chorizo Garbanzo.
I was going to let you say your name, I don't know why. Oh. And of course, Mr. Kickerabout.
Yeah, thank you for saying my name. Yeah, good evening.
Absolutely. And we're going to go and see Chuck Prophet tonight.
Damn right.
Guitar hero.
Dead right. Yes, a man we're more than familiar with. And could we say we love him?
I love him.
I think so, yeah. I think he's very, very highly thought of in this room.
It's that special.
And elsewhere, to be
fair. And elsewhere, yeah.
And so don't expect an objective analysis of this man's concert tonight.
No, will be brilliant.
He will be brilliant. He always is. He never disappoints.
He hasn't let us down, has he?
Never disappoints. No, it's in Hebden Bridge. Know nothing about Hebden Bridge. But I've never been there.
Lesbian capital of the world, Barry.
Let's go down to Hebden Bridge, that's what I'm saying.
It's known as the Hampstead of the hills or something like that. It's a very arts-based community. It's like a high percentage of art and craft type people that live there. Oh. I drove through it once. Looked very nice.
Looked very nice.
Very steep.
Yeah.
It's all very steep.
So you've not been to this venue then?
No, I've just driven. Driven through this place once.
Because it's quite a cool venue, I think.
Oh right, okay. And but why is he not playing? You know, the big places that we usually have.
I think he likes an intimate crowd. I mean, the venue that we're going to, whose name I've forgotten,
Trades Club.
Trades Club.
Thank you. Yeah. Holds about 200.
Yeah.
So if it's full.
Oh right, yeah. 200.
It's only 200 people, so it's going
to
be empty.
Because I can relate a story similar to this, because the first time I saw Chuck. It was in a place called Buckingham, and it did strike me. It was a church hall in Buckingham.
Is that the first Chuck?
That was the first Chuck gig ever. Mm. And I'd heard two songs by him, and I only went because Mr. Kickerbell said that you must go, and then didn't turn up. And I thought, who on earth? It's little village. There's nothing there. Mm. And who else is going to turn up to this on a Saturday
night? Corporal Shield did.
Corporal Shield did, and I did about 100 others did. It was full. Mm. And this like eccentric vicar type put the whole thing on. He was delighted, and it was a fantastic gig. Anyway,
we're talking about first gigs then, because I was thinking the first time I saw Chuck, I know Chirico's got a green or red theme here, green on red thing here, but the first time I saw Chuck was on his Homemade Blood tour.
Blood, yes.
Which I think must be about
96.
Yeah.
But how did you? I mean, why were you conscious of him?
Well, I was aware of him from Green on Red. I'd had a couple of Green on Red albums. I hadn't heard his solo stuff, but he was playing in Manchester Roadhouse, which was virtually opposite where I was working at the time. Mm. And so I sort of fell into the venue from work.
You had no expectations of Chuck?
No, not really. I took a number of people with me and I talked him up, said, yeah, that'd be great, this, not really knowing whether he would be or not.
Right.
And all I remember is that his guitar was unbelievably loud and unbelievably good.
Because he can just toss off guitar solos, it appears, ad nauseum, just lets them run, they rise and fall, it's tremendously thrilling. Mm. Anyway, Chorizo, you're wrong to Chuck.
I have a couple of Green on Red albums, and I went to see them at the place called the Powerhouse in Islington. It's not there anymore. It's near Angel Islington Tube, and they were absolutely brilliant. There wasn't that many people there, a couple of hundred, but it was absolutely brilliant. And then about a year later, they were playing much bigger venues in London, and I saw them again at the Town and Country Club, and then a few years after that at the Shepherd's Bush Empire.
Is that the one that was recorded live?
No, it was the same venue, but about a year or two after. Right. Yeah,
that's a great live album.
It's one of the best live albums ever, in my opinion. Absolutely fantastic. And the time I saw them at Powerhouse was around about the same time that they did that gig. And then I've seen them at on the acoustic stage at Glastonbury, probably around about the same time you were talking about, right. Mid 90s, I think.
Yeah.
But then I didn't see him for quite a while until 2009, when all three of us went to see him in Manchester. And then we went to, we being me and Kicker, went to see him in Nottingham about 2 years ago.
You missed it by a deliberate missing. It's a regret for you.
We went to Nottingham. It's quite a long way from here.
Yeah.
On a Wednesday night or whatever it was. And it's a
real pilgrimage.
Well, there aren't many bands that I would bother driving to Nottingham on a Wednesday night for, but he was playing the London Calling album.
He was.
With his band. And
the Spanish Bombs.
The Spanish Bombs, indeed, yeah. And again, there aren't many people I would bother going to see if they were playing the London Calling album.
Yeah.
Because, you know, London Calling is fine as it is. But he, you know, I knew he would do it justice, and he certainly did.
He did,
yeah. Going back to that Manchester gig, wasn't that the night you were nearly thrown out?
Chuck nearly threw me out of the concert.
He wanted you to be thrown out.
He told the security to throw you out.
He did twice.
Yeah.
It was fair enough, though, because I was saying stupid things.
You know, there was one particular thing that you said that upset him. It was about, he was introducing a song.
I'll tell you. Okay. He was introducing a song, and he was talking at length about this man. This man from New Jersey. And it was his birthday, and we're going to play a song by this man from New Jersey. Who is it? Johnny Cash!
No, it wasn't Johnny Cash.
He tried to see through the lights to pick me out, and he couldn't quite get me, and he said, security, just get him out of the building. Why do I attract these idiots? Which I was very flattered by. Particularly as I was hiding at the time.
He very much got you on his radar.
Yes, true. But that's one of the features of Chuck Shaw's that should mention. The between song banter is always tremendous, and it's very spontaneous. When we went to see him in Buckingham, He got up on stage and he said, well, they've said they build this as a sort of an audience with Chuck Prophet. He said, well, here I am.
Yeah.
And didn't say a word. He knew to build tension that night. But then proceeded to loads of stories. So it's a sort of sideways glance at
Shaw. Well, that was an interesting gig, wasn't it? Because, I really wanted to go to it because it was just him.
Yes.
As opposed to every other time we've seen him, he's been with the band,
Mission Express,
which is a fantastic band. And at least one of the fantastic guitarists in the band. Just him and an acoustic guitar, wasn't it?
Yeah. He gave us a window about the economics of, you know, musician. He's saying, well, what's happening here, people, is I'm skint. And I can come up here with my guitar. It's like an ATM. It's like a cash machine. I come up here, they give me 500 quid, I go away again. And you thought, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, cool.
Keeps you going, mate.
Another feature of the gigs, I thought you were going to mention before, but this New Jersey business, he then played for you, didn't he? The Bruce Springsteen song, and a killer version of it was as well. But he does do a mean line in cover versions.
Well, I didn't realise, but today I played, and I was looking at his LPs, and I saw I'm Bored by Iggy Pop.
Oh, yes, yeah.
And I thought, surely it's not, and it was, and it was a stormy version.
And I'm not quite sure where, but I heard a live version of him doing A New Kind of Kick by the Cramps, which was really good as well.
Oh, wow.
And one of those times I saw him with Green on Red back in those distant 80s days, they finished with Like a Rolling Stone.
Uh-huh.
And again, that was that'd be great.
So let's go around the table. Right. Songs that we might want to hear tonight. Now, Kicker, what are you looking out for?
Well, I mean, there are a number of songs that he generally plays that I want him to play again.
I'm ticking these off as you say.
Alright, so things like You Did, Who Put the Bump in the Shooby Dooby Dooby Bump, Summertime Thing, Doubt Out of Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
I've been listening back to his back catalogue actually this week, and went right away back to the first album, which is Brother Aldo,
yeah.
And I really would like to hear him play Scarecrow. The guitar on that is absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah. We have Brother Aldo in front of us here, and Chuck did say, he said at one of his gigs, that when Green and Red split up, and the record company came to him and said, you know, he could be a pin-up boy, he could be, you know, a big pop star. And so they put together the Brother Aldo LP, and he's there on the front. He's there on the front looking, I'm just showing that to the computer. He's there on the front looking moody and mysterious, isn't he?
Yeah.
And very, very thin.
Well, if his record company did have intentions of him being a big star on the back of Brother Aldo, which is a great album, I remember not knowing anything about this. I was a big Green on Red fan, and then one day I walked into Tower Records and I saw this Chuck Prophet album. I'd read no reviews of it. It didn't get any publicity. There were no billboards up around there, so they didn't really push it very hard.
That's what they said to him. Obviously, they didn't bother spending money on it.
Before you move on to somebody else's views about what songs to hear, I think I'd also like to hear songs off the Homemade Blood album, because that is the one for me, that's a special one. It was My Way In.
Oh, right.
So the title track itself is really, really good. And also New Year's Day, I'd like to hear as well.
Yeah.
Was, I think for me, The Way In was the Let Freedom Ring album, really.
Yeah.
But absolutely Temple Beautiful. You could play all of that for me.
Yeah, yeah. That's the great thing, isn't it? He's got these new albums, the most recent albums, and you think, wow, they're all great.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you go and see an artist and you think, really, you want to hear the old songs, you know,
I want to hear a lot of Temple Beautiful because didn't you guys went to see him about a year ago, didn't you?
Yeah.
Oh, you missed it, yeah.
I was on holiday and I couldn't go, much to my regret. So I haven't heard any of the Temple Beautiful stuff live, so I really want to hear that.
Well, the great thing about the Temple Beautiful album, of course, is that it lends itself to Rebel did this, lends itself to a heckle, well not a heckle, but a shout for a song that is very, very confusing.
Yeah.
Because I was sat next to Rebel as he constantly, and I think constantly is about
right. That's right.
Constantly shouted,
play that song again!
Play that song again, which is clearly the name of a song, but if you didn't know that, you'd think, who's this twerp at the back? Yeah. Wanting you to play the same song again and again.
Hang on a minute, I recognise him. He's the same guy who thought Johnny Cash was from New Jersey.
Why did security let him in again? But just looking at that, one of the other things that's a feature of Chuck Giggs is the relationship with him and Stephanie.
Yes.
Yeah.
And someone shouted out, I think in the last one, are you married? Mm. And she looked wistfully into the crowd as if to say, well, he won't. And I think they're a couple.
Yeah. I mean, this album here that we talked about before, the Brother Aldo album, I've always thought it's a bit of a shame that really should be billed as Chuck Prophet and Stephanie Finch, because she does loads of singing
on
that. There's duets and it's got
Queen Bee on it.
It's Queen Bee, yeah. It's a fine, fine album. As well as the songs you've already mentioned from Let Freedom Ring and Temple Beautiful, I've also would really like to hear some from the Feast of Hearts album, in particular What It Takes, which is a storming song, and Long Shot Lullaby, which is a bit of an anthem. But What It Takes is, I don't think he's going to play it. No, I don't think he's going to play it, but it would be nice if he did, because it's a cracking song.
We could have Pin a Rose on Me. That's a great song as well.
It's a song good. Okay, well, do you think you'll play that?
No.
No, I don't think so either. I think it'll be a lot of Temple Beautiful.
Yeah.
A couple of those you did, they'll play that. Doctor of Jesus, they'll play that. And after that, it's a lottery, I think.
Well, it'd be very interesting to see what cover he plays. Because I don't think he tends to play the same cover, you know, through a tour.
Right.
It'll depend on the night and what takes him.
I mean, another thing here, he's very good at interacting with the audience later on, isn't he? But when we've done this previously, we've always had something for him to sign.
Yes.
Now, he's not got a new album out.
No.
The last T-shirt I bought wasn't really up to scratch.
Was it not? No, actually, can I just stop you there?
Extra
large. Can I just stop you there?
Yeah.
Because the listeners should be aware of the sartorial elegance of Rebel Rickers with a very much a new gig-going shirt.
Got it today. The gig shirt. Yeah. I'm celebrating the gig.
It's nice. Red and yellow check.
Yeah.
And a picture of a penguin. On the breast.
That. Oh, yeah. Me,
I think you could do a lot worse than get him to sign that.
Oh, sign a shirt. Yeah,
that would be well.
Alternatively,
it sort of ruins the shirt, doesn't it?
Alternatively, I could ask him to sign my Ian Hunter shirt. Perhaps you could write Ian Hunter on it. I'm sure he'd be alright.
I'm sure he'd see the irony of that, wouldn't he?
We have got a few things signed from him in the past.
We have, yeah.
This is Go Easy. He's written on my Temple Beautiful album.
Yes.
Go Easy, which I.
Have you been going easy?
Well, I tend to, yeah. Whenever possible.
Yeah.
And I wondered if that was a reference to Go Easy, Step Lightly, Stay Free by The Clash, but maybe not.
No.
Or maybe he's just telling me to take it easy. And then on my copy of Let Freedom Ring, he's written, Solid Gold!
Yeah!
And a very large exclamation mark. Chuck me, you know?
But you remember, I've got two things signed, not going to with me, sadly. the last time we ran into Chuck, on the Temple Beautiful album, he's got one song where he heralds a certain football team that I'm not even going to mention.
No.
I'm not going to mention.
The Red Scum.
Yes, indeed. He heralds the Red Scum. So Kicker, you know, asked him to sort of recant on that. He may not know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
And he got very excited saying, say this, just put, well, I hate that Red Scum.
I don't think I used the word hate.
No, you didn't, no. and it was great, Chuck, because he just said, I wouldn't feel it, man.
Yeah. Now, and what he did write was he wrote Stay Gold.
Stay Gold, Pony Boy.
Stay Gold. And at the time, I was too ignorant to know what that meant.
No.
And I wasn't sure whether he was being nice or not. But I took it in good faith, but I then looked it up, and of course it's from a book.
Yeah,
the title of which I've forgotten.
Outsiders.
Outsiders.
The Outsiders,
thank you.
And a film.
Yeah, and it's really about staying, you know, naive and enjoying the world.
Chuck may not know that, of course. He may just look at you and think you look like a
pony boy.
Well, I'm certainly hung like.
Because we came back, didn't we? We googled it. Stegall, what the hell's that? Yeah, very good. By the way, Stegall pony boy. Followed it back. You read the book. I read half the book.
Yeah.
I saw half the film.
Oh, have you got the film?
Yes, yeah, downloaded the film.
Any good?
I saw half of it.
Yeah.
It has its moments.
So, yeah, who knows what he's going to say. But we're going to try and meet him after the gig, aren't we, obviously?
Absolutely.
Because we need to tell him how much we care.
Yeah.
Yes.
I might get him to sign my forehead or something.
your prosthetic
forehead.
I might give him a bit of a cuddle, to be honest with you. Bearing in mind, you know, the love factor we've got going on. He's not going to know, is he?
No,
I just get it.
Yeah, no.
Take a picture and the arm be round.
Yeah.
And I'll just quickly get the other arm around him.
Give his nipple a little tweak.
It's not like that. That's just dirty.
Don't be wrong.
Oh, well, that's gone in a strange direction. My song I'd like to hear, I suppose. Yeah, Dota, you did Temple Beautiful, all Temple Beautiful, of course.
Yes.
New Year's Day.
Yes.
We heard that earlier. And that was the one that hooked me. First time I saw him, when you're doing it acoustically, one or two songs, you thought, these are good. And then you play New Year's Day, and you think, right, I've got to get that.
Yeah.
I've got to go and find that. I've got to play it on the way home, which I couldn't.
It's a great album, great song. Yeah.
Fantastic, yeah. Any other business?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think we should be getting towards the gig now.
So you get in the Chorizo mobile.
Let's head off.
Indeed,
we'll talk
super
to our
speed.
Listener a little bit later.
See you, listener.
See you later. Down the ride of Jesus.
Okay, it's post-gig. We've just come away from the Trades Club in Hebden Bridge, and we've seen Chuck Prophet and the Mission Express, and we've seen Sean Taylor.
Sean Taylor.
Well, let's hold Chuck Prophet for a second.
I'd like to hold Chuck. you nearly held me.
Yeah, you nearly did. Let's not go into it yet. We're going to save that. Sean Taylor. What do we make of Sean Taylor?
Well, I thought he had a very good guitar sound going there. He was a bit...
he was a very good guitarist. He was very, very good guitarist.
Yeah, reminiscent of John Martin, I thought. A bit of echo plex going
on. The delay pedal. And some kind of open tuning thing going on. And some of the bits where he was playing... not singing were really astounding, I thought.
You seem to be suggesting the bits where he is singing isn't as good.
I didn't like his voice particularly.
I quite liked it.
He had a good voice, but I felt
quite guilty because I went to the bar for the first two songs, and when I came back, he was playing, and I moved to you. This is shit.
Did you?
I did. Fortunately, he didn't take me on.
No. I think he wasn't shit.
No, it wasn't. No, it certainly wasn't.
But he was engaging, and it was a nice opening to the evening, I thought.
Yeah. Well, and I was very tempted. He said, at one point when he said, I'm not from round here, and I'm from Kilburn, northwest London, and I very nearly went, hey! And I'm glad I didn't, because there was hardly anyone there at near the front at that point, there? So it would have been a bit embarrassing.
We should mention, Sean Taylor, overall, very impressed. And I thought I really should have bought one of his CDs.
Yeah,
I didn't manage that. Because, he was unashamedly bluesy. And when he put the echo on, it filled the room. His guitar filled the room, and he was doing these licks that just dropped in, and a tremendous guitar, like an instinctive thudding guitar style. Yeah, fantastic.
His right hand playing, doing this. He was kind of picking and playing rhythm and playing lead at the same time, and it was brilliant.
He did a very strange thing as well with his capo.
Oh yeah,
because he seemed to be playing under and above the capo at the same time.
Yeah, he played further up the neck than where the capo was.
Yeah. I suggest that the second capo wasn't a capo.
I think it was a capo. I think they were both capos, but he was, I don't know what he was doing, but when he was playing past the capo, further down the neck, it wasn't making much noise, it was still this kind of the open string kind of thing.
It was a waste of time.
Let's move on.
Okay. But a good start, wasn't it? A good start.
But the great moment in that bit was, so we're all sort of, there's a shark's pool there, isn't there, where the landmines were, and so Kicker shouts forward, can we move forward?
I did,
He said, certainly, sir.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
And then everyone moved forward.
And I appreciated the politeness of the lad.
He was polite, the lad, wasn't he? Yeah. Well done to him.
Yeah.
And then we met some people who were telling us about, they travelled up from Northampton today?
One from Northampton, two from Burnley.
Richard and Donna,
yes.
Yeah.
And the Northampton fellow, he was the big Chuck Prophet fan.
Yes,
The Burnley sceptics came along.
Yeah.
And... they didn't know what to expect. They'd heard a bit.
They were front and centre, though.
They had an amazing... Yeah. They shouldn't have been there.
What was this balloon story they were going on about?
What it was...
I didn't hear any of that.
I think they were in Northampton, and it was 6 o'clock in the morning, and Richard saw this fella, right, who was taking notes whilst looking into the sky. And so he quite reasonably walked up to him and said, why are you taking notes looking into the sky? And this gave him a mouthful of abuse. Used the C word more than once, apparently.
Oh, right.
To say, why are you victimising balloon watchers?
Right.
I didn't know you were a balloon watcher.
He had the guts, Richard, this evening, having had that experience.
Been traumatised.
To ask us why we were taking pictures of Chuck Prophet's pedals.
Guitar pedals, yeah.
And to be fair to him, that was a reasonable question to ask, which I couldn't immediately answer.
Even when you then explained to him that we were doing a podcast, I think for a little while he thought we did a podcast about guitar pedals.
Which didn't sound very interesting.
I don't want to offend any people who might be out there who do pedal podcasts.
Pedal podcasts. Yeah. If you do pedal podcasts, don't be offended.
No. Yes.
And let us know.
We don't look down on you.
No.
And we'd love to know.
Yes. This is your talk about Chuck.
Yes, yay, Chuck. Chuck gigs.
And then happened. What happened then?
Chuck came on.
Yeah.
He sauntered on.
Wow. He was well dressed. They were all wearing a lot of clothes at the beginning, weren't they?
He got a bit off.
Jackets and ties,
red
waistcoats.
Did you pick this?
There's a lot of red.
Red.
Yeah.
Stephanie had a red waistcoat on and a black tie.
Your man James, on the other
James,
guitarist,
yeah.
He had a red thing
tie,
on
I think.
It.
Red tie.
And Chuck had. I'm going to get a pair of these. He was wearing sort of brown Doc Martin type shoes with red laces.
Yeah,
it's
good looks.
Yeah. I'm going to get some red laces.
Big turn ups.
Yeah, well, James certainly had big turn-ups.
Yeah, Chuck did too, yeah. I'm going to turn up.
Yep.
It's a cool look.
Mrs. Garbanzo tells me when I wear jeans with turn-ups on them.
Yeah.
She tells me that nobody wears jeans with turn-ups these days.
Only rock gods.
Yeah, and I'll have to tell her, well, that's two people. Yeah.
And the key point here is to understand, because we are fans, aren't we? We love Chuck. We do. And to love someone that much and then to be that close.
We were very close.
I mean, there were times when he was standing at the mic, we were very close, but when he stepped forward to the edge of the stage, you had to move over. Your noses were, I was just behind you, but your noses were centimetres from the neck of his guitar.
Can I just say, and you know, listener, don't be offended, but I felt it's as close as I've ever been to giving oral sex to a man.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
so far this evening.
And it was a very exciting moment for me. Very exciting indeed. Yeah.
Well, it was a bit reminiscent of the famous picture of Mick Ronson and David Bowie.
Because his
guitar was right at that height.
Except with somebody, a rock musician and a fat bald bloke looking overexcited and a little bit too hot.
As Mick Ronson, me and you didn't quite cut it.
No. But the enthusiasm was there.
It was magical.
It was fantastic.
And words we've had, policies in the past.
Can we just say, Chuck was fucking brilliant.
That's not come across yet. Chuck was absolutely amazing.
Yeah. Shall we talk about some of the songs?
Some of the highlights of the evening. Well, I couldn't take any notes and I can't remember anything.
We mentioned before the podcast, we mentioned Who Put the Bump in the Bump Shibu You Did, which was played right at the end and was incredible.
Unbelievable.
Summertime Thing, I think we mentioned before, which was also played really and was and Doubt About Jesus we mentioned.
Yes.
That was done quite early on. Summertime Thing, I thought, was one of the things I love about Chuck Prophet and the Mission Express is the two guitarists kind of when they have their little duels.
Yeah.
And James,
Prater,
he was playing the slide guitar, and he'd play for a few bars, and then Chuck would play backing him, and it was just incredible, just incredible.
But as well as that, Chuck and his sort of storytelling when he was going into not singing, he's sort of half talking about various stuff. And it's like, so on You Did, which was kind of a highlight crescendo of the evening, I think.
Yeah.
And Who Did the Bob? And like, you're just waiting for it. And the whole crowd, well, I said the whole crowd, I couldn't see them.
But they were all behind
us, I assume they were doing the same thing I was, which is launching my fist, pointing, going, You Did!
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's waiting for it, going, No, you did, baby.
He was very cool. No, and he played guitar like... We've seen him play the guitar like that before, but...
Yeah.
Not that close.
And it was so impressive seeing him.
It was exciting
stuff. And he was walking the room. There was a lot of sing-along moments, and I'm trying to remember the song now, where we all were singing... Oh.
Well,
and moving on.
Yeah, no, that's...
That was Willie Mays up the back. Willie Mays up the back.
And we invented that dance.
We did invent that.
We invented the dance last year in Manchester.
Yeah,
right.
And we brought it out again tonight.
Right, a special dance. Well, I have to say, I was standing just behind you, but I did look around to see if anyone else was doing that some arm waving dance.
And
it was just you. But having said that, it looked pretty good.
Yeah.
It looked pretty good.
We stuck with it, didn't we?
We did.
We stuck with it through the fourth verse. I'm really not sure whether anyone's picking. And I assumed that all the way to the back room, 200 of them, were all doing exactly the same thing.
Yeah, the honest truth is they were. I want you to go to sleep tonight thinking that everyone was doing that dance and it's taken off. Yeah. And it's the next Harlem Shake or Gangnam Style. That is.
Fantastic.
Summertime.
And it's starting tonight.
Summertime Thing that we mentioned before was also had a bit of the whoa, whoa, whoa bit joining in.
Yeah,
bit that everyone
did,
yeah.
Did, yeah.
yeah.
I mean, he played all the songs I wanted to hear, apart from Scarecrow. He didn't play Scarecrow, but interesting cover versions again, I thought. He played the Blues Magoos, he played, I think, didn't he?
It's Sorrow, he played Sorrow.
He's played Sorrows, the Merseys.
The Merseys,
yeah, and oh, David Bowie as well did that one.
Look, I want to be absolutely clear here. This was an amazing gig. I loved every second of it.
Yes. Yeah.
But.
Oh, there's a band.
He came on and he did a Chuck Berry number and he did a couple of
others.
This
is the encore you're talking about. Yeah,
and it was like, I don't know, I've seen a lot of pub bands, not very good pub bands, come on and do like that, you know, Chuck Berry.
Yeah, they didn't play it like that, though.
I don't know, it brought back bad memories for me.
Well, I mean, he's got such a back catalogue. In a way, I'd rather see him play his own songs.
Well, he played... Let's just tell the listener what he did play. He played a song called Tulane by Chuck Berry.
Yeah. Sorry by David Bowie.
That was earlier on. Yeah. In the encores, he played that one. There was another song, I don't know who it's by, but I think it's Chuck's song. I Call Your Name, it was.
Yeah, Blues Magoos,
okay. And a little bit, he didn't play the whole thing of She Does It Right, Dr. Feelgood's.
That's right.
And there was a big shout out to Wilco Johnson, Wherever You Are. I thought that was very nice.
I didn't think he was going to play a Feelgood song. That was fantastic.
Yeah, that was good. And earlier on, he played. He went in the song Temple Beautiful, which was another one where everyone was singing along,
singing
wasn't
Leeds
it?
United?
Subverted and he knew it, didn't he?
He
came to the bit where he says, I get so excited, Manchester United. Mm. And we were right in there, Leeds United. And we subvert the whole thing.
Were you not saying Bolton Wanderers?
It doesn't really scam.
Well, no.
I wasn't committed to Leeds United.
I was.
I live with it.
I was.
I know you were. Yeah.
But in that song, in the introduction to it, he listed off some of the bands that he'd seen at this venue on Geary Street, which isn't there anymore. One of the ones he said was the Flaming Groovies. Then later on, he said that this is, because he played the song Shake Some Action by the Flaming Groovies, he said this is San Francisco's national anthem
or something like that. He did.
Yeah,
We met him.
Yeah. We met him, didn't we? Again.
Let's not go there yet. Because didn't you have something to say about last point?
We were going to talk about best song of the...
Best song of the gig.
It's very difficult to say, really.
It is very difficult,
There was so many good, but I have to say it once again. His version of You Did blew me away.
Yeah.
I can't remember this. I think it was You Did. But when we got right up front, because, listener, we were literally right up front.
Touching the stage.
I danced with his guitar, basically.
You put your pint down on the stage at one point.
I had oral sex with him as well.
No, you didn't.
Metaphorically.
Yeah, okay. You did. And, when we were...
You did.
The point at which we're having oral sex with the neck of his guitar...
Yes, okay, yes.
Whatever song that was...
That was quite a few songs.
They were all absolutely awesome.
Yeah.
But You Did, the way he crescendos that, the way he ramps it up. I got the sense he won the room over. The room was getting more and more.
I think the crowd was very positive from the start, really.
Well, it was, but it wasn't frenzied.
No, okay.
Yeah.
No,
and I don't necessarily think they are a particularly frenzied crowd. There's a lot of people
who didn't know who he was, actually. I hadn't seen him before, certainly.
Yeah.
And with bald heads over 50.
That's us.
My highlight of the night, I did say before that I was looking forward to hearing the Temple Beautiful songs, and Temple Beautiful was great, but Willie Mays' up at bat was just...
Mostly because of the dance?
partly because of the dance. No, it's just a fantastic song. Yeah. It's got that swing for the fence thing, and and they played it
really well,
fantastically, and it rocked like a bitch.
Can I just point out to the listener, if they want to hear that song, they can of course go to Kicker's Best of 2000.
Best of 2000. He played the Best of 2000. Your best. He played
on my Best Brothers, of 2012. And left hand, the right hand.
Yeah, yeah.
Fantastic.
Which was also those were also great as well.
Well, that's one of the oral sex with the next guitar. was Castro Halloween?
I was
totally carried away on that.
Yeah.
And he's doing this where he's waggling it in my face, which I'm thoroughly enjoying.
Yes.
And he withdrew it and then pointed to the guy who does the slide guitar bit. Yeah. And let's say, yes, well spotted. I need to be over there now.
Can we just say, we mentioned slightly earlier about how close it was that we got hugged.
Oh, well. I mean, we said we wanted to get hugged.
He made a joke, didn't he? He said, you know, he said he would like to come and hug every single person in the crowd, but that would be very time consuming.
Yes.
So, but so he said he would be selling merch later on. And
no,
so,
but remember before that he said, I'll hug that guy.
Yeah.
And he pointed very close to you.
It was the guy next to you.
It was the guy next to you. And then, of course, I remember. It was a tragic moment. I mean, I don't really want to relive this.
Not for him.
For your benefit. No. But so he hugged the guy next to you, didn't he?
He did. Yeah.
And then you threw your arms up and said, Chuck, I'm waiting for you. And then he said it would take too long.
No, it wasn't quite as sad as that because he actually said, "You look all
you
right.
look all right as well." Yeah.
You look all right. Yeah. And I thought that'll do me.
Yeah.
And of course I bumped into the great man as we all did later on. But
we did.
He said two things to me. First thing he said, I'm not quite sure what he means by this, but he said, "Rad T-shirt."
This was after the gig, was it?
Yeah.
Because during the gig, I don't know if you noticed, but quite near the beginning of the gig, he noticed your T-shirt and he seemed to be gesturing. I don't know if you spotted it, but this was only like two or three songs in. He noticed your T-shirt and he kind of like gestured as if to say, "Nice T-shirt, mate."
Just to clarify things, Kickit is wearing an Ian Hunter and the Rant Band T-shirt, which is quite unusual.
It's quite rad. Yeah. Quite rad.
And what was the other thing he said to you?
He called me brother.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, brother, get out of the way.
Very good.
Well, no. Nice one, brother, or something.
Oh, yeah. Very good.
Something positive. And then, of course, we all met him.
Oh, yeah. Do you want to move on to that, though?
Well, yeah, I think so. Well, let's just talk. Can I just mention Matt Gara?
Yeah.
Who was a very nice man I was talking to, seen Chuck all over the place in San Francisco, in Austin. He's driven over here from Newcastle tonight.
Wow.
And he was showing me some very nice pictures on his phone, and he said he was going to send them to us. So,
excellent.
Hello to Mac.
Let's get on the Facebook page.
Well,
Mac, send it, we'll get on the Facebook page.
Yeah, thanks, Mac. Okay, let's go on.
So we're waiting by the merch stall, because Chuck did mention, as these great artists do, I'll come out and talk to you briefly.
Yes.
And stress that.
Very clear, didn't you?
That's fair enough. Yeah, I can appreciate that. Yeah. And we were waiting in the merch store for ages and thought, you know what, he's not coming.
No.
So let's just go on.
Yes.
And as we walked out, Chuck's at the door.
Yes.
To the door, and we thought we're going to seize the opportunity because we wouldn't let our listener down.
No.
You know, we've got to. Well, I say our listener, we'll let ourselves down. And we were prepared, weren't we?
Yes.
We had a gift for him.
Yes.
Yeah.
We had photographs of the last time we saw him in 2010 for him to sign.
Which he did.
And we had a recording device ready to get him to say stuff to us.
Basically an interview.
Brief interview, obviously. The constraints of it, you understand.
Yeah.
So we gave him the merch, and what did he say?
Well, he was very happy with the merch, wasn't he?
He was made up with
The merch being
the only merch
ever
made.
The famous Trust the Wizard coaster.
Trust the Wizard coaster made by Kicker Jr. It's now in Chuck Puffett's possession.
Very good. He put it in his pocket.
He
coveted it.
Yeah.
He very much coveted it.
And he also made it clear that he was very aware of the pod.
Oh, yeah.
And we told him that it was the first song we played on the first podcast was his.
Yeah.
And he recorded us a little thing and signed us stuff.
And he recorded us a jingle. It's foul-mouthed, it's obscene, but it's still cool because he is so cool, and it's going to be on this podcast, one would hope.
Surely. And I think we should play out with a song.
Yeah,
what do you want to hear?
He didn't play that song again. I shouted for several times.
Should we play that then?
They could play that.
Or Willie Mays, or
we should play the one from Soap and Water.
The one from Soap and Water.
Do you love me?
I do, yes, and I love you.
What's the song called?
Do You Love Me?
Is it called Do You Love Me?
Yeah.
Let's circulate this.
Okay.
Do we still love Chuck?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
We do still love Chuck.
I think out of all the times I've seen Chuck Proffitt in the Mission Express, tonight was the best.
I would have to concur.
Yeah.
Yes, me too. We love you, Chuck.
Yay.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Stay gold.
Stay gold, pony boy.
Recording. Hi, this is Chuck Proffitt. Whenever I'm on this side of the pond, I listen to the podcast by these two motherfuckers.
What's your name? Trust the Wizards podcast.
I listen to Trust the Wizards podcast because it rocks like a bitch. You know it does. I wouldn't lie to you.
No.
Would I lie to you?
No. Thank you. Way to go, Chuck.
Thank you. sitting in a movie, and I'm staring at a screen. They're dragging Jesus from the town. It don't look good to me. Well, if I had a bucket, or better yet, a spoon, I'd go down to that river, babe. I bring that river home to you. Would you love me? Would you really love me? Would you love me? Would you rode the wheels right off the gravy train. They could have shut that mother down, but they did it just the same. Oh, and the women threw their panties, and the women threw their bras. Elvis hung his head and said, they'll forget me when I'm gone. When I'm gone. Would you love me? Would you really love me? Oh, would you love me? Answer. Did I wake you up? Listen, I still got this box of band-aids here from the night we patched things up. Oh, there's still some at the bottom. Yeah, I got the box right here. If I could hold that moment to my chest, I swear I'd disappear. Oh, would you love me?